From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of August, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. Mike Tenor will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast, and along the way, we'll hear from the crop tour scouts that are out with ProFarmer across the state of Iowa and Minnesota, and we'll hear the update of the final Illinois numbers as reported by ProFarmer last night, and we'll do all of that on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures finished at $5.50. They were down 11¾ cents today. December at 5.50¾, 14¼ lower, and the March at 5.58¼ down 14. September beans at 13.23, 35¼ cents lower on the afternoon. The November 13.20, down 33¼, and the January contract at 13.24½, down 32¾. Bean meal $6.10 lower at 3.51.50. The bean oil for the day finished at $60.60, down $1.33. Soft bread winter wheat in the December contract at 7.42¾, 8½ lower. The hard red December at 7.28¼, down 8½ cents for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby at $128.15, down 90 cents. Feeders at 165.47½, 35 cents lower. And lean hogs for 100 pounds at $86.92½, down $2.17½. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. The numbers were in the red. It wasn't a particular pretty day, although it looks like it was led lower by the soybeans. What happened?
Oh, a variety of things. You know, a lot of people felt like there was some outside influence, you know, with the Fed talking about some of their policy. Yeah, you look at the dollar, though. I mean, your dollar's up strong on the day. You look at crude, you're back down under $65, down to $63.50. You know, the Dow's getting beat up a little bit. So, in all honesty, you look around for some support and try to figure out where you might garner it from. You know, the corn market's lower, bean market's lower, wheat market's lower. And so you just can't really find a whole lot of friends today. I mean, interestingly, livestock, even feeder cattle are lower on a day whenever, you know, feed costs obviously aren't going up any. So not a great day by any means, but, you know, we've had a lot of good days lately, so I hate to get too worried about it.
You expect a rebound then?
I don't know that I expect a rebound. Okay, that's probably a loaded question. I would say this, you know, at these price levels, you know, I still feel awfully good, especially in this neck of the woods, to be making some sales. I don't have any problem at all if a producer called me today and said, hey, I want to sell some 551 D's corn. I just hate to do it when we're down 13. I'd say, well, run the math on that. You know, it's your expected production because you're talking about some incredible income. But, you know, do I expect these markets to be completely over and done with? I don't know. It's a lot of this is going to depend upon weather. You know, I mean, this is like, oh gosh, about the 12th day in a row, I believe that we've had some sales either to unknown China, you name it, but surprise announcements there in the morning for soybeans. And so new crop beans, you know, you're finally starting to catch up just a little bit. You know, corn hasn't really joined the party. I do think if you came in here tomorrow morning and China bought corn, which a lot of folks think that at some point in here they're going to start buying some corn, you know, if that were to be the case, there's no question in my mind you'd stabilize these markets very rapidly. But you also got to remember you're going to be heading into harvest here before too long.
What is your assessment of what ProFarmer's been finding on the crop tour this week?
I would say, you know, it's going to lead us all to believe that the crop is similar to the USDA, but it sure seems to me that ProFarmer is a little bit more rich in yield maybe than what USDA was. I would expect, and this is just shooting from the hip, but I would expect ProFarmer might come in there on Friday afternoon after the close, you know, maybe a 2.5 bushels above the USDA. But that's just again, a wild guess for me.
What will you be watching for the next week or so? other than that ProFarmer number.
Right. You know, I mean, to me, these corn just, we've talked about this probably three times now, but 550 seems to be a magnet for Tease corn. And I think that if you can kind of hold in here and not get beat up too much, I think that this corn market is going to be tough to kill, especially whenever you're looking at, awfully tight carryout levels. You look over at soybeans, like for instance, with November beans at 1321, same type of discussion, but at the same time, if you would get widespread rain here over the next 7 days, and some forecasts are calling it, not so much for our part of the world, but parts of the northwestern Corn Belt that really need it. If that were to be the case, then I would think 13 would have a hard time holding. And so a producer needs to be mindful of that. Things I'm going to be watching are, can we hold $13 beans? Can we continue to see these sales? And what's the weather going to do?
Yeah, it is surprising that in the face of such demand, in the recent week and a half, that the soybeans finally decided to break a little bit.
Yeah, there's no question. Whenever you get these announcements every morning, it's kind of reminds me of whenever we got the corn announcements every morning back in January, and then again, I believe in March. It seemed to me like when we actually got the announcements, we couldn't hold any sort of a rally together, and I think that's partially because those sales had been made a while before that, and there were some people in and around the trade that already knew about those sales. I have to think that that might be the case for the soybean situation as well, especially with regards to China. So to me, I don't think that you can expect to go back and test any sort of new highs unless you have some sort of major reversal as far as weather's concerned, because quite frankly, as you suggested, demand would lead you to believe that this bean market should have held intact a heck of a lot better than what we've seen over the last few days.
There are just a few days left in the marketing year, old crop that is. Will the demand side for corn and soybeans meet USDA's projections?
Boy, I think that you're going to fall short just a little bit on corn, maybe a little bit on soybeans as well, but it's not going to be near as much as what we thought it was going to be previously. Corn usage for ethanol looks like it might be right on par with what the USDA was saying here as far as August was concerned. Exports would be the one thing that I think could definitely fall short. It's probably not going to fall short significantly, but I certainly think we're going to fall short somewhat. What I'm going to be watching for is what are new crop sales going to look like moving forward? We know that corn had a lot of new crop sales early on, but we sure haven't seen the light of day for quite some time. Export sales were pretty good for soybeans this morning, not so much for corn. And so at some point in here, we've got to see some people stepping in and buying this corn, because I think, especially with Brazil's crop not being as very good whatsoever, I think we're the main game in town, and I think we're going to see quite a bit of business over the next 4 or 5 months.
One last question for you. This one has to do with the cash situation and basis going forward. Is your thought process that the Western Corn Belt basis will be very, very strong, the Eastern Corn Belt basis might be weak, and that futures might not have to do the lifting in that market going forward?
That would be my assessment. Anywhere that you see a shortfall in production, there's no doubt that basis could be on fire. There was a location there in Indiana that we were hearing about yesterday that was bidding $1.40 over for corn all the way out to September 17th. So there's actually some places in the east, but they're running extremely low on supplies. And so I think that you could see some interesting basis discussions until you get the pipeline somewhat primed. And if you get to that point, then I think basis in the east most likely falls apart during harvest, because I think we're going to have so many bushels that the elevator is going to have to say, listen, guys, we're going to have to back off this a little bit, because we don't necessarily want to encourage bushels to show up until we find somewhere to put them.
Hey, thank you.
Absolutely, Todd. Thank you.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Well, if you've been listening all week, we've been following along with the ProFarmer Midwest Crop Tour. In fact, there's a Crop Tour tracker on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Brian Grady writes the newsletter for ProFarmer and updated the Illinois numbers last night.
For the state of Illinois, we came in with a yield of 196.3 bushels per acre. up 3.6% from where we were last year on crop tour. Now, USDA's August 1 estimate came in at 214 bushels per acre, and that's a record for the state, and that would be up 11.5% from year ago's yield in the state of Illinois. So pretty big difference between what USDA found and what we found. You know, there's probably several factors for that. USDA's estimates were as of August 1, a couple storm and weather events came through and probably deteriorated or negatively impacted that crop since that point in time. One being the windstorm in the northern part of the state, two being some excessive rainfall that fell in portions of eastern and central, east central Illinois. And then the other one being just the dryness expanding and continuing to degrade or intensify through portions of that of the state. So ear counts were really good in the state of Illinois. Grain length was probably the thing that's holding it back at this point in time. I would say that the crop's holding on relatively well, but it's going to need some rain here in the end of the growing season. Now, soybean pod counts in the state of Illinois came in at 1279.8, up 2.6% from a year ago. USDA's estimate was 64 bushels per acre as of August 1, and that would be up 8.5% and a record yield at the 64 bushels. So, you know, our pod counts aren't up as much as what USDA's yield is, kind of apples to oranges comparison. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily that USDA's number's too high. It's just that that crop is going to need some rain to fill out those pods that we did count over the course of the past 2 days in the state of Illinois.
Brian Grady edits the Pro Farmer newsletter and organizes the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. The tour and the letter, as it relates to the crop tour, release different information. We're getting the raw data from Field Scouts this week, but tomorrow at 1:30 and then on our program during the closing market report, Brian will join us to discuss what Pro Farmer expects the national yield for both corn and soybeans and state-by-state yields will be, rather than what the crop tour numbers came out, because they simply do not cover the full states. Now, speaking of that, on the western leg of the tour, we've been talking with Sherman Newland all week. He's with Risk Management Commodities and had been traveling through Iowa south of Route 20 in the western part of the state yesterday. He moved through the northern part of that area in the northwest corner of Iowa throughout the day yesterday, and then, I believe, has been in Minnesota. That's right, I think, isn't it, Sherman Newland, today?
Yes. That's kind of where we finished off with our phone call yesterday. It was just south of 20, and then, once we got north of 20, things got drier. You could tell there was some more, you know, drier, wet, had been some drier weather. Conditions had gotten a little bit worse up in that area. I mean, yields were definitely coming down. I mean, the corn was, you could tell, had been in more drought conditions, turned a little bit brownish at times, and beans were, you know, hurting as well. I mean, still respectable yields. I mean, we were pulling some over 200, but, you know, some in the 160s as well. But, you know, overall, not as bad, you know, as one might think it might have been, but still respectable.
And then I was watching the Twitter feed from your car this morning, and I think I saw that the first four poles in Minnesota, and you started south of Worthington in that southwest corner, were above 200. Sounds like they had some pretty good corn in that area.
We started in Nobles County, pulled a couple of samples, you know, had a 188 off the bat, but we think that was going to yield a little bit more than what it did. That just happened to be a small ear. You know, when we pulled the 5th, 8th, and 11th ear, that just happened to be a smaller ear. But the next sample was 225 and 3/4, and then 234 and a half, you know, in Murray County, and another Murray County was 203. And then, you know, the last two stops in Martin County have been, you know, like I said, in some sandier soil. You can definitely see some more drought conditions. And 171 and 160.
And I know that car has run this route, or roughly speaking, run it before.
Right.
What did you think in comparison to previous years?
Overall, not too bad. I mean, to me, it seemed like it compared a lot to how it's been. I mean, right off the bat, though, those big yields were nice to see. But you can see, like I said, there's stuff that's starting to you know, get dried down. I mean, a good rain up here would definitely help the soybeans. Most of the corn, I don't know. It may help a little bit, add some test weight. But other than that, I think corn's pretty well done, you know, going to do what it's going to do here.
Sherman Newland is on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Andy Wald has been joining us all week as well. He's with Producers Hedge and has been on the eastern leg. He traveled through Iowa, I think, last night and parts of today, and probably is in Minnesota. Can you tell me what you saw in Iowa first and where you've been?
Yeah, we started our route near Green, Iowa, which is on Highway 14, south of Osage, or just northwest of Cedar Falls, and moving along here. Saw some decent corn, some corn that, you know, kind of average, I guess, but, you know, definitely some dryness out here.
What kind of yields were you pulling?
Well, our yields in our four stops in Iowa was 191, high of 226 and a low of 148.
And where did you cross into Minnesota?
We just crossed into Minnesota kind of south and east of Austin.
Right. And have you made how many stops in Minnesota to this point?
Two stops here in Minnesota. This corn looks like it's really dry. The one stop was, you know, it actually yielded a little better than what I thought it would at 173, but, and the other stop was 185. But, you know, it's not going to be long. They'll be combining some of that, I think. Seen a few guys with combines parked. It looks like they're getting them ready.
When you came out of Ohio through Indiana, Illinois, and then into Iowa and Minnesota, how did your view of the crop change as you moved westward?
Well, I was super impressed with what I saw in Ohio and Indiana, especially northeastern Indiana. Those were the best yields I've seen. You know, getting into Illinois, I thought, in my opinion, I thought it'd be a little better than what we saw. I think our average yesterday was just around 193 or 4. I thought maybe it'd be a little better than that. Getting into Iowa here, when we were in Iowa here this morning, like I said, it's about 200, you know, kind of average, I guess. Some good and some bad, but, you know, overall, I think, you know, it could have been a little bit better. The ears are definitely heavier the more west we've moved, and it's definitely more mature. But we'll just have to see how it finishes. A lot of this seeing some tip back, and you know, I think the numbers we're looking at today are probably better than what it ends up being when it finishes.
Hey, Andy, thank you for joining us all week. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
That's Andy Wald. He is with Producers Hedge. He and Sherman Newland have been traveling on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Tomorrow, we will wrap the tour up. We'll hear from Brian Grady and get the numbers that they finesse for the Pro Farmer newsletter and what their actual estimates are for the national yields for corn and soybeans. On this Thursday, let's check the weather forecast with Mike Tenera. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. It's been warmer than expected, I think, and it's gotten a little humid, and it looks to me like there's maybe rainfall, maybe not. What can you tell me about the weather forecast?
Well, this is one of the more challenging forecasts we've had in a long time, and it's been like this all week. The primary reason is that it's very cool off to our west for a change. The Rocky Mountain states and stretching into Montana and the Dakotas are turning a lot cooler as we speak, and temperatures there will fall by 20 to 40 degrees versus where they were a couple of days ago. So it's a big pattern change for parts of the northern plains, including that drought-stricken corn, soybean, and spring wheat area. Now, along with that pattern change for that region, we will see two systems move through over the next 4 days. And that's going to produce some strong thunderstorms here and there. So we think we're going to see some soil moisture improvements in the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, which is exactly where we need to see rain. Now, coverages and amounts are a little bit challenging to say, but at this point, we're fairly comfortable forecasting 1/2 inch on the low side to 1.5 inches on the high side for those corn and soybeans. So we're talking about 20 to 25% of the U.S. crop. For everybody which includes Illinois and Indiana and a lot of our listeners that are out there today, we're going to be on the warm side of that system for a while. So we will see some temperature variations over the next 5 to 10 days. But in general, temperatures will average near to above normal, at least over the next week, and then we'll have a cool off around 7 to 10 days from now. But the exact setup and the exact details of weather in any particular day are going to be very difficult to determine for a while, simply because the atmospheric setup is a little bit beyond the capability of computer models to handle with more than very low confidence. So basically a little bit warm. And as far as rainfall, not all that much rain for a little bit, especially to the east of the Mississippi River. We'll see some storms here and there as a front or two move through over the next 5 days, but nothing major. And then more than likely we'll see some better rain chances once that cool front shows up in 7 to 10 days or so. So once you total all of this up for the central United States, we're kind of in this mixed bag of weather and soil conditions, with the drought-stricken areas of the Northwest to finally get some good rains over the next 5 days. For everybody to the south and east, yes, there will be some rains here and there, but we'd like to see a little bit more. It might be surprising to even think about this, but Indiana and Missouri have been drying out a lot over the last 30 days, and even small parts of Illinois. And that's despite all of the rains that we've seen recently. Not only that, parts of Iowa, big parts of Iowa at that, as well as Nebraska, also need some big rains. Now, what's going to happen here is most areas are going to see a little bit of rain, and a few of these dry areas are going to see some good rains. Whether or not this turns into the event that is exactly what's needed for soybeans is a bit uncertain. And we'd like to see cooler temperatures because corn is filling as we speak. And the cooler there is in the last half of August, generally the higher it yields. So this is not a crazy heat wave or anything like that, but we would like to see things just a little bit cooler for an ideal setup.
You've got us out to about Labor Day. Have you thought much about September yet?
Well, no, and the reason is because there's no reason to think too much about it. There's nothing that we know today or any piece of information that could be handed to us today that would then give us a strong indication of what's going to happen in September. The only thing we might add is to say that we are in a neutral condition, which means that water temperatures across the Pacific Ocean are pretty close to normal. And in similar setups to this one that we are in at the moment, we've had two examples. One was in 1996 and one was in 2001. And both of those Septembers were a little bit cool in the Corn Belt with rainfall fairly close to normal. So if you want to think about anything, you might slant toward the cool side for next month, which would be a little bit of a change because it has been a fairly mild summer. But whether or not that leads to an early freeze is very much uncertain because the chance for an early freeze in September is always low, and there's no reason to have a higher than normal or a lower than normal probability for that to happen later next month. At this point, it's just a typical setup, and maybe with a little bit of a slant toward cooler than normal weather overall for the month of September.
Thank you so much, Mike. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yep, sounds great.
That's Mike Tenera. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media.